Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Friday, August the 31st, 2001. In the fireside room this morning is Rick Mason. Today's session number is MAR 2001-5, and the title is Can I Call on God? Let's listen to Rick.
Rob.
Yes.
This is the list of Christian punk, and actually there's some punk bands in there too, but it's mainly hip-hop and Christian rap bands, and some websites that can, the record companies that handle mainly Christian hip-hop and rap artists.
Okay. Wow, thank you.
Okay, no problem. And when I get back home, I'll check some of my CD collection.
Okay.
And probably run into some other names and try and get them to you guys.
Appreciate that.
Wow. I was going to ask him for the scripture, not for the hip-hop fans.
Come on now, what's more important, scripture or hip-hop fans?
Well, see, he's a bit younger than I am. Someone asked me who's my son yesterday.
I'd be honored to have me as a son, doesn't matter.
Well, for those who are here for the first time, this is my last day, and sorry. I am Rick Mason. I am pastor and mission developer at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Greenville, South Carolina, which is a mission restart in Greenville, a mission that really didn't take off the first time the way it should have in a booming population area. And we've got things, I think God has things running in the right direction right now. We're having a lot of fun. A lot of worshipers and members, reaching some unchurched people, some folks who have been de-churched. The main resources for the study during the week have been a CD that we're going to listen to a couple songs today off of Smell the Color 9 by Chris Rice, contemporary Christian artist. The old book by J.B. Phillips, Your God is Too Small. And the, of course, the Bible, and then there'll be some other stuff from a few other books that I used in putting the Bible study together. On Monday, we talked about how we tend to box God in and live our conception of God. And we was talking about, your partner was talking about, kind of about that last night, I think. How can God hear our prayers and respond when we have such a narrow vision of who God is, what God can do? And then on Tuesday we talked about who can God call? We determined that God can call anyone, regardless of age, sex, national background, denomination. Yes, God can call and talk to folks other than Lutherans. He doesn't do it very often, but he can.
Are you going to talk about Ghostbusters today? Because I've been waiting all week for that to say, who can you call, Ghostbusters?
No. Sorry.
Maybe you just bring it up. Okay, I'm done now.
Okay. And then Wednesday we talked about how God calls us. That God calls us through prayer, through the church, through scripture, through our own experience. We'll talk a little bit more about that today. And then yesterday, we talked about why would God want to talk to us? And it's because God invites us into a relationship with God and with one another. That, you know, all the other things that God calls us to do are based on those two relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationship with the rest of God's creation. And today we're going to talk about the question, can I call on God? I mean, if God can call me, is it right if I talk back? Let's begin with a word of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you once again for another beautiful day. And I know I thank you for this week of being able to share in discussion and in class how you call us each by name. We ask you to continue to be with us, to enlighten us, to open our hearts and our minds to your presence among us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start by sharing a story. It's titled Making the Devil Pay. There was a Christian lady who lived next door to an atheist. And every day when the lady prayed, the atheist guy could hear her. And he thought to himself, she sure is crazy praying all the time like that. Doesn't she know that there isn't a God? Many times while she was praying, he would go to her house and harass her, yelling through the window, "Lady, why do you pray all the time? Don't you know there's no God?" But she kept on praying. And one day, she ran out of groceries. As usual, she was praying to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking him for what he was going to do. As usual, the atheist heard her praying and thought to himself, I'll fix her. So he went to the grocery store, bought a whole bunch of groceries, took them to her house, dropped them off on her front porch, rang the doorbell, and then hid in the bushes to see what she'd do. Well, when she opened the door and saw the groceries, she began to praise the Lord with all her heart, jumping up and down, singing and shouting. Then the atheist jumped out of the bushes and said to her, "You crazy old lady, God didn't buy you those groceries, I did." Well, she broke out and started running down the street, shouting and praising the Lord even louder than she had before. When the man finally caught up with her, he asked her what her problem was, and she said, "Well, I knew the Lord would provide me with some groceries, but I didn't know he was going to make the devil pay for him." God does answer prayer. Making a noise again, I didn't take care of last night. Has God answered prayer in your life? How do you know?
Situations were resolved and things happened that met your needs.
Did you do anything in response to the prayer?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, sometimes the answer's been no.
You okay? Sometimes the answer's no. Sometimes the answer's wait. Occasionally, you get the one where, you know, you ask for something specifically, and it happens. But that's, I think, probably the exception rather than the rule. And we're going to get into some of that today. Quite. Be careful what you wish. You may regret it. Be careful what you wish. You just might get it. Anybody recognize those words? Glenna, do you recognize those words?
Here.
From a wonderful Christian source, Metallica. From their song, King Nothing. And whenever I hear that song, I think about prayer. Be careful what you pray for. You may regret it. Be careful what you pray. You just might get it. But sometimes we treat prayer rather blithely. Like it's not as serious a business as it really is.
Is the window open out there? It's kind of a glare on it.
No.
You can't read it?
No, I don't think it is.
It's just this. It's probably not right there. Probably doesn't help. And there are a couple windows that are partially
open. Yeah.
There won't be any pictures, so. Prayer requires a response on our part. Adjusting our lives. Sometimes looking for confirmation of what God's calling us to do. And usually prayer requires obedience on our part. It's not just asking God to do something. Henry Blackaby in the book Experiencing God writes, "Our problem is that we pray and then never relate anything that happens to our prayer." Especially if it falls outside the narrow limits of what we think we're praying for. When I first went to Christ the King 13 months ago, I had a really good idea of what kind of ministry God was leading us to do. I mean, the east side of Greenville is heavily populated with young families, upwardly mobile professional families. But that's exactly what direction we're going. And, you know, I would pray that God would, you know, really strengthen that ministry. And for months, God kept trying to answer my prayer with some other ideas. And I just kept ignoring them because I wasn't looking for the type of answer God was providing until one day I went to visit a new couple in the congregation, a couple senior citizens who had just moved to Greenville. And suddenly it dawns on me as I walk up to their condo in a brand new condo community, and these condo communities are going up daily on this end, on our end of town, and finally realize, dummy, there are a lot of senior citizens who are also moving to the east side of Greenville. Pardon?
Skateboarders.
Yeah, they're who are also skateboarders. We have a skateboard ministry on Tuesday nights. Now, we don't have very many senior citizens skateboarding, but, you know, God had been answering my prayer of, you know, guidance on building this congregation and, you know, leading us in our mission, but I'd been ignoring it each week as he brought more and more seniors to come and worship with us. You know, our growth has been, we've increased worship attendance by 150% in 13 months. And the growth has probably been two-thirds, you know, young families, but the other third has been senior citizens. And I think it was that, like, a night later, Glenna and I were sitting in experiencing God class with a lady in the congregation, and I mentioned this final revelation that God had finally gotten through the thick head of this German kid, or German guy with, and Ellen, it was like, her face lit up. She had been, since I got there, and I think even before, had been searching for what her ministry was going, what God was calling her to do in the church. And Ellen has years and years and years of background in service type organizations. And she said, oh, you mean we could do like maybe parish nurses program? I said, yeah, do we have any nurses? No, but she said, there's things, you know, that I could do. You know, she knows how to help people navigate the choppy waters of Medicare and Medicaid that are so hard for a lot of us to understand at all. And, you know, Ellen's been through all that before, helped other people. And, you know, right now she's organizing, you know, periodic blood pressure screenings, which, you know, if I had stuck with my narrow vision, not listened, look for God's response to prayer outside of where I expected it to be. Young urban professionals don't value blood pressure screenings twice a month, but seniors do. And so God is leading us into another area of ministry. But we have to pay attention. I think as you said before, you know, sometimes God's answer is no. Sometimes God's answer is something, is yes, but it's a different yes than what we were expecting. I'm going to play a song now by Chris Rice. And this song initially doesn't really sound like it falls in the vein of what we're talking about today or really in the vein of Christian music, but it does towards the end. It comes back around. It's a song called Magic Wand.
Always entertaining. choices every day. Obey the spirit whispered in my soul. With the help of God, a little time can change a heart, a new mind. Without a magic wand, a work of miracles.
Without a magic wand, God works a lot of miracles in our lives. And as I was listening to this earlier today, I was reminded of the session last night, the session both in Creekside and then the forum last night, that I think a lot of us would like, you know, see problems like with migrant workers, and we would like to wave a magic wand over it and make it all right. But as he says here, the only way to really change is some simple choices every day. I think you mentioned that last night. You know, simple choices in what, you know, what we buy in the way of food, the way we live our lives. Some questions came up in the forum last night about, you know, well, you know, what can I do when I go back to New Jersey or when I go back to South Carolina or go back home? And I guess I thought about myself 30 years ago, how I bailed out of the church because I didn't think it could change. He talks in the song about, you know, changing what I thought to be unchangeable realities. Well, now I think the church is a changeable reality. It's simply going to be hard to change it. But that there are things that we need to do as individuals when we come back down off the valley, or off the mountain, back down into the valleys, to change our unchangeable reality. And a lot of that might be through prayer. In fact, it probably will be through prayer, changing, helping people to change their hearts inside our churches. Because I'm convinced that the church isn't going to make a difference. The difference it should make in situations like with migrant workers, the third world, or the third world that exists in some of our big cities. Unless we do some structural changing and realize that we're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Henry Blackaby in Experiencing God writes, prayer is a relationship, not just a religious activity. It's designed more to adjust you to God than to adjust God to you. It's not just something we do.
There's another point about prayer. If you pray, you know, whatever comes to mind, sometimes just getting it out there, you know, the answer is staring you right in the face.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it either.
Just by externalizing it and expressing it.
Well, it's, again, we've talked a lot this week. No matter where we start, we end up talking about relationship. That this whole Christianity thing boils down to relationship. Our relationship with God and with one another. And how Jesus came to repair that. And part of relationships is a healthy relationship shouldn't involve just one party doing all the talking and one party doing all the listening. And if you have a healthy relationship, a good friend who helps you work through problems in your life, you just go and start throwing out stuff. You know, somebody you can just get all the junk that's inside out of you. And a lot of times, as you said, as you're doing that, the solution comes from inside that you just hadn't seen it before because it was all cluttered up with all the junk. And that's, you know, God is a friend that we should be able to go and pour out all our junk to. In the session in Creekside yesterday afternoon, Tierra Hueva, one thing you mentioned was that, and it got back to our conversations again Monday, how the Hispanic peoples have this concept of God to judge, and therefore they can't go to God and just bare the soul, empty out all the bad stuff. Because if he's sitting up there as God, as judge, he's up. That means he's up there writing down all the bad stuff so he can, you know, mete out punishments. And so our view of who God is goes a long way to determining whether we can open up and dump all that stuff. And realizing that God is infinitely large, but also calls each and every one of us in this room by name and knows us personally. And wants to help fix us, not punish us. Douglas John Hall writes, prayer is the nomenclature that we assign to our divine, to our activity as listeners to the divine spirit. How much time do we spend in most worship services listening? For or to God? I think I mentioned a couple days ago, there's one couple in the congregation in Greenville that when I mentioned for the first time late last fall that we were going to have quiet yoga type meditation as part of our non-traditional worship service, they wrote an irate letter to the synod, to the bishop, about the kind of crazy pastors they're sending out who bring Eastern religion into the church. And yet, when this couple, and they still don't know that I know that they sent the letter, because they never sent it to me. But they came to the non-traditional service about, I guess, 5-6 weeks into it. And afterwards, their first comment was, it was wonderful to have a quiet meditation. We need more of that in worship. We live in a society that doesn't value quiet. It values clatter and something, you know, busyness. It doesn't value, put a high value on time just spent being and listening. But that's part of the relationship process, that we need to spend time listening to God and listening for God. And as we talked about the other day, that means listening for God through prayer, through the church, through scripture, through our experience. If you remember those who were here, I guess on Wednesday, you know, this diagram of how, you know, listening to what's happening in your life and listening to the words of scripture and then being able to bring those two stories together. And where those two stories intersect is where revelation occurs, where finally the aha occurs, that, ah, dummy, that was God involved in doing that. But when we don't spend time listening to our own story or to God's story, it doesn't happen. And we end up, you know, things will happen and we might say, oh, what a coincidence. No, it wasn't a coincidence.
But remember my new definition of coincidence.
What?
It says coincidence, God's way of reminding you that he's still paying attention.
There you go, okay. That's right. And I mentioned at the, and I'll even say it with Norm here, and with Catherine here. When we arrived last Saturday, it was not coincidence that whoever arranges housing at Holden Village put us in the same chalet with Norm, a wonderful man, who also happened to be a senior at Augustana College when I was a freshman. And so we had that connection. It wasn't coincidence that put us in the same chalet with Catherine, a lesbian, who married for how many years?
17.
Married 17 years. When, you know, that was exactly what happened with myself and my first wife. You know, after 12 years of marriage, she left because she decided she was a lesbian. I mean, she finally admitted to that. And Glenna, you know, her first marriage broke up because her husband called her from, what, Chattanooga, Tennessee, to tell her that he was gay. It was not a coincidence that we were put in that chalet. It was God getting our attention again, to help us again to work through some things as we have tried to work through for the last how many years?
13 for me.
13 years trying to work through all this stuff.
Well, and let me add,
and clutter.
God was incredibly creative
for me this last couple weeks that I've been praying for reconciliation with my previous husband, who doesn't speak to me and hasn't for a decade. But who does God bring up to Holden Village but my sister-in-law that I've never met, who we got to know to each other, and I haven't seen my brother-in-law in a long time. So anyway, God works it out. She's busy.
Very busy, and still paying attention.
Amen.
And that's a good thought, but it can also be a scary thought. That God is paying attention and knows who you are and knows where you live.
Better watch out.
Yes. Now we get back into the policeman, judge God here, Santa Claus God. So I'm kidding. You better watch out. You better not cry. And going back to, again, one of my favorite writers, mystics, Meister Eckhart, who once wrote, "Nothing in all creation is so like God as stillness." And I think up here on the mountain, that's a lot easier to remember as you take walks, sit on a bridge, listen to the creek below.
We need the stillness to be able to listen.
Again, that's not something that our society puts a lot of value on, stillness. But if you remember the story of, was it Elijah on the mountain? You're trying to hear God in the thunder, trying to hear God in the earthquake, trying to hear God in everything, and how does God finally come to Elijah? A still, small voice.
Henry Nouwen says, our modern brains are like banana trees full of monkeys. You have to... You have to kick the monkeys out.
Yeah. And strangely, and I talked about it, I think, yesterday or Wednesday, little things that we can do, even in the midst of our busyness, to try to create a little quiet. I try to remember every once in a while to break the habit of immediately after turning the ignition key in the car, immediately reaching over to the radio knob and turning the radio on. But instead, driving in quiet, observing the people and what's going on around, and listening. And yeah, kicking the monkeys out, listening to the stillness, listening to that still small voice, which sometimes is the voice of children. We're going to talk in a minute about how we are. I mean, we are basically spiritual beings, I hope. Because otherwise it means that after this material existence is over, we're done. And I think sometimes children are the most spiritual of human beings until we train it out of them. But I have some kind of interesting short prayers from children to God. From a little girl named Joyce. She says, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I really prayed for was a puppy." Or Eddie, who prays, "Dear God, the bad people laughed at Noah. You made an ark on dry land, you fool, but he was smart, he stuck with you. That's what I would do." Or this young fellow who decided to remain anonymous to God when he wrote the prayer, "Dear God, it rained for our whole vacation, and is my father mad? He said some things about you that people aren't supposed to say, but I hope you won't hurt him anyway." Or, "Dear God, I didn't think orange and purple went together until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was really cool." Bruce, "Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up." Or this one, which I think we all ought to remember as we go back down, from Elliot. "Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying." If we can think about God on those times, when even when we're not praying or doing religious stuff. But I think we need to remember that we are spiritual beings first. Yeah. J.B. Phillips writes, if it's true that the nature of reality is spiritual, and it's only quite temporarily and incidentally involved in matter, it is not unreasonable to want to know something of the spiritual being. That we are not created primarily to be material beings. And that when God did create us, He created us good, and He created us in His image. Now, I really hope that that doesn't mean that God looks like me, because I'm not sure I would want to spend eternity with a God who looked like me. But I think it's good. I think it means that God gave human beings creativity. That we are the only of the creatures, of God's creatures, that have this creative spark within us. And I think that's part of the prayer process, too. Someone reminded me at the 7:30 session that, you know, sometimes we expect an immediate response to the prayers we pray, but that we need patience. And part of the waiting process is the creativity part. You know, I mean, I'm not an artist, but I doubt that there are very many artists who just sit down and say, I'm going to make a picture of the mountain, and just sit down and immediately have it whipped out in 5 minutes. But part of the creative process is, you know, sitting and looking at the mountain, feeling the mountain inside, you know, experiencing it, and letting the creative juices flow. And I think part of the prayer response process is releasing the creativity that's inside of us, that, again, oftentimes is kind of taught out of us as we go through public schools. Hey, you can't color inside the lines. You have no creative talent. But each of us has a creative talent, whatever it might be. I still can't color inside the lines. But that may be part of the creative abilities that God gave me that I don't often think inside the lines either. So part of the prayer process is using our creativity to respond to God. And I'd like to, now as we kind of wind down, I want to listen to a song by Chris Rice called My Prayer. And we're going to listen to it, and then I'm going to play it again with the lights off and invite everyone to sit back and the second time through to maybe close your eyes and listen for God. Or maybe if you have a special prayer that you need to raise up to God this morning, to let it rise like the incense. Thank you.
Too far to outspace. Sorry, I-
thank you for sharing this week with me. And I invite you to go out and continue to experience God and hear his continuing prayer for you.
You have to play my favorite Chris Rock song.
What's that?
Very Last Moment.
Haven't we done that one already?
Oh, no.
No, you didn't show up. That's right, you didn't show up several days, did you? We did use this one earlier in the week. Life means so much. Yeah, y'all don't have to sit and listen just because she likes it.
What's it called?
Life means so much.
Do we have the words?
Yeah, somewhere back here. Let's see, what day was that?
Tuesday, Monday. Monday and Tuesday I'd be home. I have other things to do.
You're right.
But you've heard him speak before?
I have a life. I see him every day.
Nobody's poor. We get 24 hours each. So how are you?